This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
A warning. This episode contains explicit language and content. Hey, y'all. You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. When I first heard Trina's song, Pull Over, I was in middle school. And her dirty but clever wordplay was one of my first introductions to Southern rap. And this song made me a fan for life. For over two decades, Trina has been one of the biggest names in hip-hop. In the late 90s, she introduced herself with a fresh Miami, wet and wild rap style. She made a splash with bold, sexy lyrics and a larger-than-life persona. And Trina's impact has been huge. Hot new artists of today, like Latto and the City Girls, grew up listening to her music and credit Trina as an inspiration. Today on the show, a special treat from our good friends over at NPR's Louder Than a Riot, where they look at the unwritten rules of hip-hop. Rules that discriminate against a few but hold back the whole culture. This episode focuses on rule number 4 in their book. It ain't trickin' if you got it. And Trina is going to show us how that plays out. Stay with us.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.
I was at one of my friends' house, and we were just hanging out. We just always hang out. And Trick called.
This is Trina. The Miami rapper goes by many names. The baddest bitch. Diamond princess. Trina Rockstar. And when we sat down with her in Miami, we asked her about this one night in 1998 that set her on the path to earning all those titles.
He happened to call my friend, and her name is Janie. She was the one answered the phone for him. And he was like, what you guys doing? And she was like, oh, we're just hanging out, chilling. He said, come to the studio. And so I'm in the background like, for what?
On the other end of the line was Trick Daddy Dollaz, Miami-Dade mainstay, and a friend of Trina's from her Liberty City neighborhood.
He was like, who is that, Trina? She was like, yeah. He was like, put her on the phone. So I get on the phone. And then he was like, man, y'all come to the studio now. I got something I want you to do. I was like, what is it? He was like, just come. It's like, I can't explain it.
Now, when Trina and the rest of her girls pulled up, Trick was kicking it in the studio with a bunch of dudes.
We know all the guys, so it's like it's always family. It was a family thing, so it was cool. And then he goes, come in the studio. I want you to hear something. And we go in the studio, and he plays the Nam record. Then he was like, I want you to get on the record. Now, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'm going to say, you know, it's Trina or something. Like, what's up? It's Trina. Just a real little, like, intro-y thing. You know, a little skit, a back and forth. He goes, he plays his verse, his 8 bars. And then he goes, now I need you to come in right here. And I was like, listen, I was like, play what you said again. And then I was like, and what am I supposed to say?
At first, she didn't want to do the record. And I was like, Trina, you got to do the record.
That's Trick. Trick had already laid down a verse on Nam that had some out-of-pocket, thugged out bounce to it. Exactly what the Dade County mayor was known for. Like, he was running through a whole clique of baddies, killing a man, and then buying rounds for everyone in the club afterwards. But still, it wasn't enough to set the track apart. He wanted it to be a call and response.
And for that, he needed somebody he could go toe-to-toe with.
He want me to, like, be combative with him. Go, like, girl versus guy. And I gotta like, kill him in my part. He was like, and it gotta be nasty. You just gotta talk and da-da-da. He was just saying all this stuff.
Yeah, Trick was not letting up.
And she was like, I don't know how to rap. I said, we're not rapping. I was like, all we're gonna do is be ourselves. And I was like, just be you. Cuss me out.
After all that, Trina was gassed up enough to give it a shot. Now, there's a lot of studio sessions that have become hip-hop legend. The Wet n' Wild Miami Anthem Nan is definitely one of them.
So much so that the story of its making has been told a million different ways, and usually giving credit to Trick Daddy as the one who wrote the raunchiest parts of Trina's iconic clapback.
But this is how Trina tells it to us.
We were the only ones in the studio, just me and my friends. I made him get out. I was nervous. I didn't want to do it in front of him. So I just had the girls in there. Like, so if I sounded crazy, they could be like, nah, that's lame. You ain't going to say that. You got to say it like this. So that was like my energy with my friends. And they just wow. So they was ready.
With all the guys gone, they got to work, thinking of the nastiest, hardest lyrics they could to outdo Trick's verse.
And so I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm not saying it. It was like, yeah, you got to say that. I was like, no, I'm going to say this. No, say this. And I was like, should I say this? That's too nasty. It was like, no, that's perfect. My friends, I have the 9 to 5ers and I have the all nighters. So in the balance of both of them, there you go. That's how the verse came.
Running it back on studio speakers, she had the guys come back in and listen.
So when Trick came in and Corey and all the guys, Ross, everybody, they went crazy.
Man, this joint was so fire, it got Trina a record deal that night. And she wasn't even looking for one.
This song was the start of Trina's career. A career that would have a lasting impact on hip-hop. Because even though she didn't know it right then, she wasn't just speaking for herself and a couple of girlfriends.
I was raw, unapologetic. I stood on what I meant. I believe in who I am. The game didn't make me. I made the game. I made it. That's why I breed a whole universe of bad bitches.
I'm Cindy Madden.
I'm Rodney Carmichael. And from NPR Music, this is Louder Than a Riot,
where we confront the double standard that's become the standard.
On every episode this season, we tackle one unwritten rule of hip-hop that holds the entire culture back.
And one that a new generation of rap refuses to stand for. From the moment she stepped in the game, Trina was pushing P in ways nobody ever heard before. She raised the bar on raunchy lyrics and put Miami hip-hop on the map. But birthing a whole universe of bad bitches didn't always come easy. As Trina was wiping her Gucci pumps on dusty old stereotypes about black women's sexuality, rap's old guard was constantly trying to drag her through more dirt, reducing baddie bars to the pejorative of rap without hearing the real message.
It's still a double standard because we can say this, that, and the other, and this could be sexual, whatever, and it's a look down upon. But the guys say the same thing and everybody's celebrating it.
On this episode, rule number 4. It ain't tricking if you got it. There's just something about Miami. The vibrancy, the Caribbean flavor, the heat, where humidity from the swamplands mingles with the sweat of the nightclubs, only to be washed away by salt water and frozen liquor. As the plastic surgery capital of America, it's a place where sexy reigns supreme. One of the only places, as Trina says, you can go to the supermarket in nothing but a bikini and not get looked at sideways. And it's where everyone else comes to play and tap into their sexy. Let their freak flags fly. And the hip-hop this city has given us definitely reflects that energy. When we flew down south to meet up with Trina, before even speaking, she reminded us why she is the baddest bitch. She pulled up to the Slip and Slide studios in a burnt orange Rolls Royce Wraith, making us look super broke in our Toyota Corolla Uber. And she agreed to start the interview only after she got a full face beat, ate her delivered soul food, and got all the sauce off her neon acrylic nails. Once we settled in, she laughed while reminiscing about what happened after she laid down her verse on Nam all those years ago.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
In the summer of 1998, Nan dropped as the lead single off Trick Daddy's album. And Trina didn't know it was such a big deal until the night Trick invited her to his birthday party.
Get to the birthday party. We're in like this little VIP little thing in the back. And Trick is about to go in and perform. Okay, I'm behind the curtains. I'm standing up here with my girls. We standing up there, we bopping this up.
Trina and her girls were running up the table tab, and they had the whole VIP section going up for Trick. But then Trick's team interrupted them.
Then they came and said, we're gonna bring you up to do Nam. I was like, no, I'm not gonna go out here in this club in front of these people and do this song.
Even though she laid the verse, it never occurred to her she'd actually have to perform it. She had never done that before.
And it was like, yes, you are. Come on, you got this. And I was like, oh, no. And this is his birthday party. They was like, oh, you can't let him down. It's his birthday party. Everybody's here. It's a big old thing. These girls are going to be waiting. They're going to love it. And I remember when the song was coming up. I think I had, like, the most anxiety. Because, like, this is the first time I'm going to be in a... This place was packed.
This was a big moment for Trick. He was bubbling out of control. And he was up on stage performing his songs, acting like the king of the city. Then, the beat for Nan dropped.
And they played the song. Now, he's doing his part. The hook comes on. Now, I can hear when it's time for my part. I did not step behind the curtain.
Trina's friends didn't want her to miss her moment. They literally pushed her through the curtain onto the stage.
I did not say one word. My eyes was closed. I was so nervous. I didn't say nothing. I was just standing there. All I could hear was every word for word from the girls in the club. I was terrified. Screaming. It felt like I don't even know where I was at.
The girls in the club were so hyped to see Trina. It didn't even matter that she wasn't rapping. They were rapping her verse for her. Trina smiles as she remembers their faces now. Those girls helped check off her stage fright because she saw in their faces what her lyrics were doing to them, smashing the culture of shame around women's pursuit of pleasure. She saw the joy and the power it gave them, and something really clicked. She knew she could work with this. From there, Trina was thrust onto a year-long tour with Trick, doing Nah night after night after night.
I mean, we're going into 1999, and the whole 99, we was on a tour. So I was just on the road, working, doing the song. So at that moment, it was always Trina screaming. The girls was going crazy. We traveled everywhere, all over the world, and it would be the same reaction from girls. It doesn't matter what race, what size, what color, everybody scream. I'm talking about all the way in Tokyo, Japan. Like, everywhere you go, they were, like, addicted to this verse and this record. It was just beautiful women everywhere, like, crying and...
Well, I want to talk about the reactions. Like you're saying, like, you went all over the world and you could tell how people were locked in and really feeling this verse. Not just because it was...
Raunchy.
Not just because it was raunchy. Mm-hmm. It was also just, like, a point of, like, eureka, sexual liberation on a whole nother level. Five, six best friends? Yeah. Who was saying that?
I got that from my...
But I'm saying, like, you weren't afraid to say it.
No, because I was like, I'm going to be like, yeah, mess with one or two. She was like, girl, that's not enough. And I was thinking, is it just us that has this mindset? Are my friends just way out of control? Like, that was my first thing. And then once the record came out, I was like, well, all these girls is out of control. Everybody's out of control, because even if this is not your story in your life and you haven't even talked to 5 or 6 different people in life, you are saying this with conviction, you know? So it was beyond the sexual part. It was just, I think it was more like just that woman, that girl, like that beastie of it, of like, I'm just finna tell it like it is and say what I gotta say.
Coming up, Sydney and Rodney talk to a certified Trina scholar to break down how the rapper upended sexual stereotypes in hip-hop. Stay with us.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
The only way I can categorize how I felt as an adult when I first heard Trina's Nan verse is that I understood in that moment that I could either, like, be the kind of girl that, like, people expected me to be and, like, wanted me to be, or I could just do what the f*** I wanted to do.
Cecily Bowen is the author of Bad Fat Black Girl, Notes from a Trap Feminist, and the host of Purse First, a podcast about the girls and the gays in rap.
I think when we talk about how sexuality is, like, denied for women, and I think particularly for Black women, it's this idea that it starts so young that we just don't even get to consider that sex or, like, our sexuality is something that we can really enjoy and, like, enjoy experiencing, enjoy developing, enjoy exploring, defining almost immediately is just really meant not to exist.
This denial of women's sexuality makes sense, given the way men are assumed power in society and taught that their gratification is what should be prioritized. And for Black women specifically, this denial goes deeper because of adultification bias and stereotypes like the Jezebel that render Black women and girls as promiscuous deviants, only existing in service of men's sexual needs.
There is a freedom in sexuality, in, like, sexual expression, just like in creative expression or intellectual expression, you know, in dance, body expression, what, you know, whatever kind of, like, expression that there is to have. Like, I think the sexual language is right up there. And the assumption for so long is that that is a freedom that only, like, men have gotten to experience.
And those freedoms are not only reinforced in hip hop, they're glorified and rewarded.
A lot of the ways that men in hip hop talk about sex is essentially representative of how they've already achieved the freedom that they seek from those heteronormative ideas, because they relish in the fact that they can f*** who they want when they want, period. And bet not nobody question them about it, right?
Trina's verse on there completely changed the narrative, though, and showed that freedom off to women. She wanted to keep that same energy on her debut album, too.
Like, what am I going to do? This is a whole album. This is not just a record. It's not a verse. This is a real thing. Now, what am I going to do? I got to captivate all these women that are screaming.
But Trina was a brand new artist, and she needed help getting these thoughts into the shape of an album. So she called on the guys who knew what they were doing.
The first album, the label was all involved. We was all in the studio. Everybody was there, like, we were trying to create records. They had all these producers. Everybody sending me different kind of stuff. And I remember, this is new for me, so I'm all ears. Any suggestions you guys got, let's just do it. Unless it's something I totally feel uncomfortable about, I'll be like, but I didn't have that, really. It was just all about a whole team building, myself, Trick, Ross, Trey Plus Six, everybody on the label, because they're creating me now. Like, this is a girl, from the only girl on Slip and Slide, and we got this big deal with Atlanta. We got to make this, got to be right.
One of the biggest influences on the album was Trick Daddy. He knew what the streets wanted. If Kim and Foxy were mixing their femme fatale sex appeal with New York attitude, Trick knew the secret to Trina Sauce had to be repping the South to the fullest. So he told her, straight up.
I said, Trina, the only way you can compete with this is you got to go straight Miami.
That's exactly what she did. Trina dropped her debut album, The Baddest Bitch, in 2000.
The Baddest Bitch came out, and it was just like, The Baddest Bitch. That's a title I aspire to. Like, that term, bad bitch, to me is a direct result of Trina's impact, among other things. Like, truly the blueprint. Truly the blueprint for the girls.
The blueprint is right. Because the point of the song is not just to be raunchy. Trina was giving game. Because to her, it wasn't just about promoting sexual freedom, but financial freedom too. Those two ideals were intertwined.
Okay, let's start with, I got game for you young hoes. Don't grow to be a dumb hoe. That's a no-no. See, if you off the chain, stay ahead of the game, save up, buy a condo, set up by the grands, and a munch you on the Benz, another wicked set of rims. Like,
I got game for you young hoes. Don't grow to be a dumb hoe. That's a no-no. See, if you off the chain, stay ahead of the game, save up, buy a condo, sell a by the grands, and a munch you on the Benz, another wicked set of rims.
It's literally like the building blocks.
It was
it's like a financial class.
It was like, set a goal. He was like, don't be an idiot. Set a goal for yourself. Work to attain that, but also like the people you're f***ing should be helping you attain that. Set a high price so that you can reach the goal faster. And then throw a little something extra and get you some rims on that bitch. There's something so methodical about that recipe for like success that is... She made it sound so simple. To set you up on square one, the broke has to, like, exit the equation.
As an album, The Baddest Bitch kicked in the door. She had Pearl Clutchers extra pressed and Freako's flocking.
Yeah, it was booty-based from a woman's point of view. And coming from Miami, at a time where Uncle Luke and Two Live Crew were basically using women as props to sell album covers... Now, Trina refused to be used as an accessory.
Mm-hmm. She was breaking out of the boxes that women in rap had been put into, refusing to teeter on some Madonna whore seesaw. She toppled that thing over completely. And the real key to her titillating wordplay, she never let anyone else dictate her worth.
Okay.
But as she got more comfortable as an artist, Trina wanted to grow, to rap about topics besides her sexual prowess. It was an obvious shift away from the original raw image, but it wasn't a shift away from what Trina naturally liked. It was about being nasty as she wanted to be, when she wanted to be.
I just wanted to challenge myself to see if I could do different than the baddest. I wanted different sounds. I wanted to try just different stuff that I wouldn't have normally tried from the first album because I didn't even know to try it. I didn't know the tempo was going to change. I didn't know my mindset was going to change.
That was NPR's Louder Than a Riot. If you want to hear more about the artists Trina inspired and what they're facing today, check out their podcast. Louder Than a Riot is currently in the midst of an amazing season. I haven't missed an episode, and you shouldn't either. Thanks to the Louder Than a Riot team, which includes Sydney Madden and Rodney Carmichael, Gabby Bulgarelli, Sam J. Leeds, Mano Sundaresan, Soraya Shockley, Cher Vincent, Jose Sandoval, Teresa Shia, and Pilar Galvan. Engineering support came from Gilly Moon. Additional production and editing for this episode came from Jamal Michel, Jessica Mendoza, and Jessica Plachik. I'm Brittany Luce. All right, that is our show for today. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on Friday.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viori.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
It's a high-stakes election year, so it's not enough to just follow along. You need to understand what's happening so you are fully informed come November. Every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast, our political reporters break down important stories and backstories from the campaign trail so you understand why it matters to you. Listen to the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.